The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify to me. And you also will testify, because you have been with me from the beginning. I have told you this so that you may not fall away. They will expel you from the synagogues. In fact, the hour is coming when everyone who kills you will think he is offering worship to God. They will do this because they have not known either the Father or me. I have told you this so that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you." The Gospel of the Lord. Good and silent, good morning, brothers and sisters. Happy Memorial Day to everybody, and welcome. It's wonderful to have you all here together this morning, praying together, and of course remembering the souls of all those who have died in the service of our country. I have a little thought to share with you here this morning. Okay, as we come close to the end of the Easter season, Jesus begins to speak more and more about the Holy Spirit. So let's stop and think about what that means for us, okay? The Holy Spirit is the second person of the Blessed Trinity and the love between the Father and the Son. But practically speaking, this is something we want to remember. The Holy Spirit is the only power in the world that changes hearts and changes lives. No one's heart is moved. No one's life is changed for the better, right, towards God, except by the power of the Holy Spirit. Imagine, if you will, for just a moment, the most skilled preacher in the world. And everyone marvels at his skill. Without the power of the Holy Spirit, he doesn't actually change anyone's heart, though. Everybody can marvel at his talent and ability, but it doesn't actually move anybody to get closer to God. He's essentially just an entertainer without the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, by contrast, imagine someone with no speaking ability whatsoever. Maybe they got a speech impediment. Maybe they got a thick foreign accent. Maybe they're shyer than a church mouse. If the Holy Spirit is working through that person, those who hear will be shaken to the depths of their being, because the Holy Spirit is the power. Ever tell you about Mother Teresa of Calcutta speaking at my high school? I don't know if I've ever mentioned this. Mother Teresa of Calcutta came to my high school. 1,600 students gathered for what seemed like yet another religion assembly. And she stood up in front of the crowd. And with a thick accent, I think it's from Albania, she just said the simplest things, like, "Pray and serve Jesus, and then you will have the joy of loving Jesus." And you could have heard a pin drop, because the Holy Spirit was speaking through this little woman, not even 5 feet tall. The Holy Spirit was a-moving that day. And then came the question and answer session. Teenagers lining up at the microphone to ask questions. "What can we do to be more like Jesus?" they said. Teenagers said that. What's the power? It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Now remember, Jesus said he's going to send the Holy Spirit on you. And he already has. He's been confirmed, right? So here's the question. Remembering that the greatest good we do in our lives is anything that leads somebody else to know God better. How can we make the Holy Spirit work through our lives? Two things I'd like to share with you here, okay? Just two little things. First of all, pay attention to what consoles you and to what upsets you. If a soul is leading a sinful life, it's the Holy Spirit that upsets them, agitates them, pricks their conscience, tries to get them to change their ways. If a soul is leading a sinful life, it's the evil spirit that tries to console them, keep them in the darkness, keep them walking down the path that leads to death. But by contrast, if a soul is alive with grace, it's the Holy Spirit that consoles them and gives them peace and tries to get them to remember God's presence, and it's the evil spirit that leads to agitation, feelings of disappointment, feelings that you're not accomplishing anything or that you have no reason to hope. That's all the evil spirit. That's one way to maximize the working of the Holy Spirit. Choose to listen to him. Here's the other. Choose to remember God's presence. Because remembering God's presence makes God present. You know, if you ever give in to temptation, you know what you've done? You've forgotten God's presence. If you ever give way to sadness and despair, you know what you've done? You've forgotten God's presence. You constantly remember Jesus at the Last Supper. He says, "Do this in memory of me." That wasn't a desperate plea, like, "Please, guys, don't forget me," right? That wasn't what that was. He knew quite well that to remember his presence was to make him present, and he wanted to be present. In fact, the word we use in the Mass is anamnesis. Literally, it means to unforget. And on the subject of unforgetting, I think this is very important to remember on Memorial Day. It's so easy to forget the sacrifices of those who have gone before us. Memorial Day is a day to unforget. Here's a really interesting question I think about very often. What do we owe to those who have gone before us? What debt do the living owe to the deceased? And the truth is, it's incalculable. When you consider how much we have inherited from those who have gone before us, you realize it's incalculable what the living owe to the deceased, especially the sacrifices of the deceased, especially those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice, the sacrifice of their lives, like the hundreds of thousands of people we remember today and pray for today on Memorial Day. I mean, you just look around you for just 2 seconds, and you think to yourself, what fortune we have even to be in a building like this. And how many places in the world you couldn't so much as open a building like this, you couldn't even gather for Mass. And we think nothing of it. We just drive across town and come to Mass. The debt you owe to those who made that possible is something we want to unforget. And if you want to ask, how do you repay that debt? I do believe there's only 2 ways that we can do it. You'll never be able to calculate it, but I do believe there's 2 ways you can repay it. Number one, use your freedom well. Those who have sacrificed for your freedom did so that you would use that freedom well. Don't we always pray for religious liberty and religious liberty and religious liberty once again? You ever stop to ask, what are you doing right now with the religious liberty that you already have? Use your freedom well. That's how you honor those who died for it. And the second one I hope you already know, and that is, we repay that debt by praying for those who have gone before us. Those we've loved in this life, we must not abandon in death until by the help of our prayers, we've carried them safely into the kingdom of heaven. Let's do that just now. For the souls of all those who have died in the service of our country, eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them. May they rest in peace, and may their souls and the souls of all the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen.